Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome H.B. Charles to the podcast. H.B. serves as the senior pastor of Shiloh Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. H.B., welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Jason. It's a joy to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you in the studio today. Of course, we're recording this week on the occasion of the Spurgeon Lectures at Midwestern Seminary. These are annually major fall lectures we have on preaching. And so we started these in the fall of 2013 and was privileged to have that first year, Dr. John MacArthur, have since. In the fall, had other just great heavyweight preachers, men of great ability and great reputation, including Al Mohler, Mark Dever, Alistair Begg, Ligon Duncan, and this year we get to have UHB. Next year we have Don Carson slated to come. So these are this is always a special week for us at Midwestern Seminary, and it's just good to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And so we're also in the studio while we're here trying to make the best use of our time and talking today about the busy preacher and finding time to study. And when I think of the busy preacher, I think of H.B. Charles, because as I like to razz you, you are always preaching somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are a preaching machine. Mm-hmm. And whether it's your home church at Shiloh or conferences and seminary settings like this, local church ministries, you're always out and about preaching. And so you know what it's like to have to prepare sermons, sometimes with not all the amount of time one would like to have. So we'll get to that topic here in a few minutes. But first, HB, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your ministry at Shiloh, what the Lord is doing in the church there, and a broader just familiarity with your life and ministry.
Sure. I am husband of the girl of my dreams, Crystal, and we have three children, an 18-year-old son. In fact, as of this recording, he just turned 19, 16-year-old daughter, and a 10-year-old daughter. The past 10 years, we have lived in Jacksonville, Florida. We are originally from Los Angeles, California. And for the past 10 years, we have served the Shiloh Church there in Jacksonville, Florida. I am primarily responsible for preaching and teaching, among all of the other things that go along with pastoral work. And currently, as one church in two locations, we do live preaching in all of the services, and I typically preach all four services on both campuses on a typical Lord's Day. And throughout the week, the church and elders are generous to let me jump birds, going here and there to preach in conferences and at school. So a bulk of my time is preaching and preparing to preach, along with the other responsibilities that go along with being a husband and a father and pastor of a church.
And not only do you preach, you also sing. Tell us about what's forthcoming.
Yeah, so my father taught me to love the scriptures. My mother taught me to love the hymns of the church. She was minister of music and musician, and I have grown up loving music. Over the past few years, however, I have been writing music. And we just recently decided that this was music that we should share. And earlier this year, we recorded a project that we call Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. And there are newer pieces that I wrote, some very old hymns of the church, some newer songs some may be familiar with. And all of it is different styles. Some of it is congregational. Some of it is choir. And I'm looking forward to that project coming out November 9th, 2018. And hoping someone besides my mother will buy it. And whoever hears it will be blessed by it.
I'm sure someone in addition to your mother will buy it. And many folks in addition to your mother will be blessed by it. As someone said to me recently, an author, he made the comment into a group setting. He said, in referring to his book, he said, you don't have to read the book. You don't even have to buy the book. He said, I just need you to review it on Amazon. And so, to our listeners, I say, buy the CD, buy the album, listen to the album, and review it on Amazon. Hey, for H.B. Charles.
Yeah.
So we're preachers, you and I both, yep. And we preach, you know, many, many times throughout a year, home church, and then on the road in different settings. For me, I'm serving as interim preaching pastor at First Baptist Jackson, Mississippi, and preaching there several times a month, and then there's always something before me. Yesterday, I preached a pastor's conference in Mississippi, and man, there's just always something. So you're always thinking about that next sermon.
Sure.
You know, sometimes I think fondly back on my first pastor when it relates to the time I had to study to prepare sermons. It was a smaller church. They were gracious. I was a seminary student. They wanted to position me to do well pastorally, and I showed up where there was a basic congregational expectation that I preach, you know, a sermon on Sunday morning, a sermon on Sunday night, and a sermon on Wednesday night. You know, a little abridged, a prayer hour, but a sermon in conjunction with that. And so for me, I'm a young man, 25 years old, and I'm living life like one step ahead of the hounds. There's always a sermon looking at me. There are weeks when I knew a little more about that passage than I had learned that week studying.
Mm-hmm.
And so living on that treadmill, and looking back, again, it was a pretty frantic pace I lived. At the same time, the church was very gracious, and so I could spend every week, 20, 25, maybe 30 hours a week just preparing sermons in the study. And it was very formative in my life, not just intellectually as far as learning the Scriptures, spiritually being fed by the Scriptures. It was formative as a discipline to prioritize study and to prioritize sermon preparation. Well, you fast forward now from the early 2000s to the late 2010s, and I don't have 30 hours a week to prepare sermons.
Right.
I wish I did, but I don't. And so I have to live life navigating, how do I preach this sermon? How do I study this text within the confines of the time that God has given me? And to be clear, I still prioritize preparation. I still certainly place a premium on it. I never want to step into a pulpit feeling unprepared. I never want to step into a pulpit feeling like I'm about to do an injustice to the text. And a lot of those things are only arrived at through time. And so for me and for our listeners, no doubt, we all are, in a sense, having to adjust and assess weekly as to how much time we can spend in a text, how much time we have to spend in a text. So if you're HB, you're living this. Man, you're preaching multiple times a week at your church. You're on the road preaching. And so I guess just at the broadest level, how do you find the time to study and to prepare faithful sermons? Give us just a big picture sense of how it seems to work for you.
Sure. So I think one of the things I just learned by being here and there and being around preachers is that pastors are pastors. And you may pastor a very large, well-known church, or maybe in some out-of-the-way place. I think in both scenarios, people are people. Men are husbands, fathers, have personal responsibilities, have meetings, programs, all of those things. And so I try not in that regard to exaggerate my own busyness. I'm a pastor. And all that goes along with that, I have to live with just as others do as well. One of the things that, and I would share your testimony, in my first church, I just remember having as long as I needed to study. If I look back and there's something I could look back and wonder, what I could trade from those early days to where I am now, that would be the thing. I just had a lot of uninterrupted time to study. Now at this point, my life is hectic, and I just don't have those longer and uninterrupted blocks that I used to have. And for me, one principle that helps me get prepared from week to week is that at a certain point, I have to practice intentional neglect. Everything that is on my to-do list, everything that is a potential project or opportunity that comes before me, I have to be selective at some point and just decide this is not getting done. This is not going to get my attention because I have to have a certain amount of time to prepare. I felt like now, later in my ministry, this past week, I had a really busy week, and I benefited, when I need to get to it quicker. The Lord just helped me to get to it quicker.
Mm.
But there is the mystery of preparation and study. There are just those weeks where the text is unpredictable, and it just requires time. I used to say how hard sermon preparation is. I don't think the hardness is in the difficulty of the task. It is hard in that it is often long, slow work. And it takes you however long it takes you to understand the text so that you are, as you're saying, faithful to the text. You're not winging it. You feel prepared for the text, and then you need to think through how that should be shaped for pulpit preaching. And so at some point, neglecting, and that means not just throwing away time. It just means a pastor has got to delegate. Not necessarily if you don't have a staff, but there has to be development. Those around you who you can share the load with so that you can pull away when needed to get ready to preach.
HB, let's pause just for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back in the studio today with H.B. Charles. We're talking about the busy preacher and finding time to study. So I know you well, and I know that you do indeed place a premium on sermon preparation because you place a premium on preaching, and to preach faithfully is to rightly interpret the text, to rightly exegete the text, and bring the fruit of that study to bear on the congregation through the preaching ministry. And you don't get there without adequately studying. You know, help us to understand how we should think of basic time allocation. And by that, I don't mean, you know, 20 hours a week to pastoral visits and 20 hours a week to study and 5 hours a week to correspondence. I mean more broadly as far as the rightness or appropriateness to think of your life, your time, as a pie, and you have to slice it in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we want to be clear here. We're not condoning or suggesting the rightness of capping sermon prep time so we can have, you know, a lower golf handicap, or we can be lazy, or we can keep up on every sporting adventure that interests us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a rhythm in our life, a balance. We need days off. We need days to think about things other than the church, other than preaching. But the point is not to suggest that we can be lazy or passive or disorganized and let all of life back up on us that we find ourselves crimping on sermons. No. What we're after in this conversation is an awareness of leading a church, serving a church, comes with many different pressure points. Those pressure points generally all have one key ingredient to fix. That's time. Whether it's a naughty leadership issue, a naughty sin issue in the church where you have to confront a person in sin, organization, you have to think through how to organize Bible studies. Perhaps you're having to, you know, give yourself to staff mentorship. The week where you have 3 funerals pop up, you couldn't project that. You know, you can project a wedding 6 months out. Funerals tend to come without much notice.
That's right.
And in other words, things happen. Yeah. And things happen often that are good and godly and fitting and right for the pastor to give time and energy to. Yet Sundays are coming.
Yeah.
So help us to think about the rightness of a basic sense of time allocation.
Sure. So there are two things I would say in response to that question. The first is a 30,000-foot look at your schedule. I think the key for a pastor to be faithful in his pulpit work is that you have to have a plan for planning your preaching. I do think it is really bad stewardship of time if you are spending chunks of each week trying to determine what you are going to preach.
Yes. And again, which is, as a footnote, is one of the benefits of expository preaching.
It is a key benefit in terms of practical allocation of time and good stewardship of pastoral ministry. Whatever I have to think about this week, I don't have to think about what I am going to preach next Sunday. If the Lord chooses to change direction, he is free to do that. But I have marked out where I am going. This is not just a key principle for expository preaching, but sequential expository preaching. I was pressed for time this past week, but what aids me really in this process is that I am starting Mark chapter 3. I'm preaching through the Gospel of Mark now, and just these first two chapters, I'm at the end of 5 controversies. Mm. with the religious leaders that Jesus had, starting in Mark chapter 2. And so just kind of working yourself through, you're not jumping in the middle of different conversations and contexts, but you're working your way through the flow of a passage, and I'm benefiting from work I had previously done that I think aided me to get to the gold quicker.
Yeah, there's a carry forward aspect to your work. And so you're not having to figure out what exactly was taking place in chapters 1 and 2 because you've been living in chapters 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to orient you to the Gospel of Mark and the big picture. You've been doing that over a period of weeks and months. And so you can carry all that work forward, which between that and the fact that your text you'll be preaching has been pre-selected, it's a massive economization of time.
Absolutely. So the controversy at the end of chapter 2, the final passage, was about the Sabbath. The controversy at the beginning of chapter 3 was another scene, but it was still about the Sabbath. And so it just benefited me in that regard. More specifically, I picked up something as a young pastor from the late W.A. Criswell, who basically would teach young men to spend your mornings with God, your afternoons with the people, and your evenings with your family. I'm just a better man, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, when I am able to keep that rhythm.
That's right.
If I can just spend those mornings with God in the study of His Word, I don't feel the pressure for Sunday. Just, in fact, 3 or 4 mornings gets me way down the road.
Yeah.
So that if something comes up, I don't feel that there's an emergency that is going to pull me from prep.
Right. There's no crisis.
No crisis. In the afternoons with your people, that means either staff or visitation or counseling or whatever that looks like, and just getting home. But during the evening and not overscheduling every night so that you are burning the candle on both ends. I commend that rhythm to the pastor as best you are able to do that and guard that.
Yeah, and look, you brushed up against one of points I often emphasize with our team here is be careful what you say yes to. I am 41 years old. I often regret having said yes to something. I don't know that I've ever regretted saying no.
Yeah.
And this is not just a human calculation, it's what's most convenient, but I do seek to go about this in a spiritually minded sense. And can I truly bring a value to this church or this ministry or this gathering of pastors? Mm-hmm. Or is this just, you know, the pastor's wanting a Sunday off and wanting someone to fill the pulpit?
Mm-hmm.
Not to put it crassly, but we do have to triage those opportunities. You have to assess those things. And because 8 months out, it may look really doable on paper. But then you're in the middle of it that week thinking, what was I thinking?
Absolutely.
Why am I getting on a plane right now to go to this event, to go preach at this place? When the reality is I personally am not going to be that much of a value add, nor is this going to be a value add to the seminary. Mm-hmm. Someone else could do this and serve the Lord and fulfill the need of this invitation. You know, I also think of a basic consideration I try to do weekly, basically with every preaching opportunity, is two fundamental questions. How much time will this text likely need, and how much time do I have to give?
Mm-hmm.
And look, there's always an unpredictability in sermon prep, right? I mean, there's times when you think this is going to require X, and actually it requires X plus 20%.
Yeah.
And there is an unpredictability there. However, broadly speaking, if you've been preaching a number of years, then you probably have a general sense. So if I mean, most preachers, myself included, my basic knowledge of the New Testament is superior to my knowledge of the Old. It just is. That's just a fact of life. I've spent more time studying the New Testament. I've read through it more. I just have. And so I can parachute pretty much into any New Testament book really on short notice and have my bearings, know what Paul's speaking to in this letter, know what Peter's addressing in this letter, know the historical background, know the key words. And so I can show up to that book and to that sermon and get into the meat of exegesis pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But if I'm parachuting into Ezekiel chapter 7 or Jeremiah chapter 11, it's just I know for myself, I have to have more time on the front end to remind myself of all that's going on, remind myself of what the prophet's dealing with, remind myself of the historical background. Just my knowledge isn't as strong in the Old Testament as the New. And so for me, if I'm being asked to preach somewhere, if I'm thinking about what am I going to preach next week, next month, these different settings, I have to do that rolling calculation in my mind. At the same time, look, I'm committed to preaching fresh sermons. It's not enjoyable to me. It's not edifying to me just to pull sermons and preach them. I mean, sure, I'll often preach texts I've preached before, but even that, I just don't, you know, grab sermon notes and glance at them 5 minutes before the sermon. I tried to reinvestigate, to restudy, to reincorporate into my own life and my own heart. So this is coming to the people of God as fresh as possible, not some, you know, cold biscuit I heated up, as they say.
Yeah.
And so I guess, you know, HB, what I would ask you to kind of zero in on a couple aspects here in the conversation, when I am going to preach, not only does it help me save time to not have to determine, you know, which text and that, but it's an appropriate consideration to ask myself, how much time do I have to give to the sermon, and therefore, how much time will this text likely need?
Yes.
Is that fair?
That is absolutely fair. I can tell you, when I am invited to speak somewhere, there are things I am led to do. There are places I feel like it's important for me to be. But generally, if it's something I'm not familiar with, there are two big questions that are on my mind that are key questions. First of all, how much time am I allotted to speak? It's a big question. And then the other question is, I want to know what they want me to speak on.
Yeah.
Because if you are a pastor who has been in the Word for a period of time, you have a body of work that you have produced. So you can ask me to talk about the church, to talk about the Word, to talk about justification. I may have to edit something and restructure it for a different setting, but it is something I've already got my arms around as a theme. So I think what you're asking is absolutely important. You kind of need to target what the occasion is you're speaking on and what the assignment is. And I think you got to be honest with yourself about how much this will require of you. And you will know. You will know this is not Mark. This is Ezekiel.
That's right.
And I am not as familiar with Ezekiel as I am with Mark. And this will take me time. And you've got to factor in those decisions.
You know, and when I am asked to preach somewhere, I am always one in my office gets the bottom up. Are they expecting me to preach on a certain topic or text? And I've had a few surprises over the years. And you talk about panic, that you find out the day before you're supposed to preach that actually they want you to preach on, you know, some obscure passage you haven't thought about in 3 years. You talk about a panic.
Yeah.
Or that they're going to have a conference on preaching and have eight preachers preaching on preaching. Well, the possibility of overlap is pretty high. And
right.
So I try to flush that out early and say, hey, I'm intending to preach on this text. Let me know if there's a concern there or if someone else is already committed to you to preach that text. So I want to flush that out with clarity as early as I can.
Sure.
Let me try to zero in the conversation this way. And, man, time is flying by here on this podcast, HB. But just one lesson I've learned over the years that has served me really well on economizing my time as it relates to sermon prep, and that is this, to always be prepared to study. And by that, I mean, I learned early, and I learned this from Steve Lawson, who was the first pastor I was under as I was called to ministry. Man, I do to this day. I take a vanilla file folder, and I've Xeroxed or photocopied, you know, the Bible passage, linguistic tools, Bible commentaries, and I got a file folder for the sermon I'm going to preach.
Yep.
And that might be 3 or 4 weeks out. It might be 3 or 4 days out, but it's there. And I got that in my briefcase. And so when I'm pastoring, you know, 15 years ago, that briefcase is with me everywhere and those sermon notes. And I go, I think I'm going to do a hospital visit. It's going to be a 20-minute visit. But they walk and say, well, actually, tests are being run. The patient will be back in 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That's kind of an hour of sermon prep time.
Mm-hmm.
And I could sit there in the waiting room of the hospital and watch, you know, the Maury Povich show. or I could go down the hall to a quiet corner and work on that sermon.
Yep.
And so stealing 45 minutes here, 30 minutes there, an hour and a half there, I mean, that is how this rolls up into working so very often. And so for me now, I'm semi-present. I have to travel a fair amount. And so when I'm on a plane, if you're just guessing what I'm doing, I'm probably working on a sermon.
Yeah.
If I'm waiting, I mean, if I'm in a hotel and I'm preaching at 2 o'clock that day and I'm aloof in the morning hours because I'm in that hotel probably working on a sermon. You have to steal away these hours of time to study. And there are times when, you know, to really crack the nut, you need a 4-hour block of time. But there are other times when if you've done the heavy lifting, the 45 minutes here, the hour and a half there, really enables you to pull this together. So one of my maxims in life is always be prepared to study.
Yeah, absolutely. I am most comfortable in my study surrounded by all of my books, which serve to me as a cloud of witnesses, if you will. Everything is arranged the way I want it to. There is someone outside my door to block people from interrupting me, and life is not like that most of the time. You've got to learn to sanctify wherever you are, and you've got to use the time to study, to actually study. And so you are absolutely right. I do the same thing. I am a dinosaur. I don't do my work primarily through software. I like to mark stuff and highlight stuff, and it helps me retain what I'm studying. And I'm with a file anywhere I go. And those moments where my wife has drugged me to the mall, she can stay in the store, and I'm sitting in the island studying. That time where between flights or on flights, that time waiting on the person to arrive for the meeting, all of those scenarios, you must, I think your language is right. You have to be a master of stealing time to study, because a lot of times there is a lot more space than we think is available. Mm-hmm. Just because you don't get that long block in your study secluded where you would like to be doesn't mean you don't have time to study. There are a lot of, and sometimes it may cost me. I need to get home and spend the time with my family, but they all head to bed at a certain time. And then a couple of those hours before I fall asleep, when it's quiet, I get a chance to get a little bit more done, that because meetings I didn't get to do earlier. You need to find find ways to steal that time so that you are, I love your phrase there, always prepared to study, that you are, to use the language of the New Testament, making the most of every opportunity.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, HB, this has been a fun conversation, encouraging for me. And, man, thank you for ministering to us this week on campus through the podcast, Preaching and Preachers. God bless you. Thank you for joining me today in the studio.
Thanks for having me. It is always a joy to be at Midwestern. It's always a joy to be with you.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.